Power panel, Jake, you were John I. Roll, Luna, Jeff Waldorf, out of nowhere, off the top rope. All right. So I love the story of Jeff. Jeff was one of our viewers. We did TYT Nation a long, long time ago. It was supposed to bring a lot of you guys in. In fact, we are now doing TYT Twitch Pitch, which is very similar. I got announcements about that later. But Jeff actually did it, and he set up. Now he's got Waldorf Nation. So, Jeff, great to have you on the show, brother.
Thank you. Hello, Young Turks. It's good to be here.
All right, rock and roll. See that, guys? Participate in the stuff that we're doing, and you never know what comes out of it. And so I love that Jeff has got his own show now. Everybody check out Waldorf Nation. All right, damage report, take it or leave it.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, okay, so.
If I had to choose, I'd go Waldorf Nation.
All right, guys, we got an unbelievable first hour. The first two stories are bananas. So you're gonna see the first one, and it's about Tucker Carlson taking on one of our own. You guys will enjoy that. And then the second story is about Captain America. I need you to see the Captain America story. And then in the second hour and throughout the show, things that I massively, vehemently disagree with Joe Biden on, and then things that I'm like, huh? I didn't see that coming. That's not that bad.
They found a video of Joe Biden, a quote I had never seen before, that I like gasped when I saw what he said about a country. I'm not gonna say which country.
No, we're not saying it. We're not saying it yet. That's called a tease.
But it was pretty later.
Okay, so apparently lots of good news.
It was Trumpian.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, but John, take it away.
First okay, thing. Let's do it. I'm gonna try to explain this story, but honestly, nothing makes any sense. So we'll see how it goes. Tucker Carlson is trying to get to the bottom of his belief that the NSA has been targeting him for destruction. And to do that, he has issued a FOIA against them to find out about their potential investigations into him individually. And that is a good thing. Other FOIAs, though, not necessarily so good, as Tucker will describe in this clip.
We haven't heard back from the NSA, probably won't for a long time. They did promptly respond, however, to some stooge at The Intercept, which is some joke billionaire funded website. This guy filed a FOIA request about our FOIA request and then wrote on Twitter this, I've obtained under FOIA the FOIA request Tucker Carlson sent the NSA. So what's interesting is, and it really does kind of crystallize the total degradation of American journalism. The Intercept was founded to push back against the surveillance state, was founded by Glenn Greenwald. And now, of course, they're busy covering it up and cheering it on. You wonder, instead of FOIAing our FOIA requests, what are you gonna find there? Nothing. Wanna figure out what the NSA is doing, the largest intel agency in the world. That might occupy your time. That might be a virtuous thing to do. Doesn't occur.
Can I go?
You just go.
Okay, that's like my favorite thing
He's
ever.
A millionaire.
Okay, so first of all, there's so many great things in this. And Ken's gonna respond in a minute because Ken was on one of our shows, Deep Dive with Jordan Yule, last night to respond to this. We're gonna show you the clips. But when he calls Ken a stooge. So Kenny Clips is now at The Intercept. Of course, he used to be with the Young Turks here. He was with the Nation in the middle. And so he's almost hit every progressive outlet. And he does more NSA accountability than like maybe literally any reporter in the country. So Tucker doesn't understand anything. Calling him a stooge for the NSA is hilarious, right? But even better was this: Ken Klippenstein represents the total degradation of journalism in America. Said the guy who actually probably is the perfect representation of the total degradation of journalism in America.
Jeff, what are your thoughts?
A FOIA for me, but not for thee. That's essentially what it is. And by the way, I just want to point out how they intentionally did Kenny Clips dirty in that little picture that they had of him.
Yeah.
Even though, you know, like they tried to find the worst picture and they even failed at that, which is incredibly sad. By the way, he's kind of looks like he's towering over everybody, like, Yeah. Oh, you're gonna come for Kenny Clips. Interesting choice.
Yeah.
You know what though?
Good luck with that, sir.
I like what Jeff's saying. So we're gonna get to the whole, wait, why is Ken FOIA-ing the FOIA? That's really important part of the story. But also, yeah, look, there's lots of pictures of me online where you can find me in not great poses. Okay? So that's a target-rich environment. But apparently, Ken looks good. He's a photogenic dude. So like the worst they could do of him was, I didn't think about it that way, but Jeff is right. He looks like he's a giant of sorts.
Well, and he's happy. It looks like he's laughing at how ridiculous this is.
He looks like a happy giant towering over them.
By the way, do you know where that picture's from? I tracked it down.
No.
So, and I mentioned this on the damage report. There's obviously hundreds of photos of Ken. You can get photos from literally anywhere. They clipped out and then took it, you know, did the thing around his head of a shot of Ken from the thumbnail for an appearance he made on The Conversation. Okay. Not like one of his headshots, not his Twitter profile picture, not from his website, not one of his official photos from the different journalistic outlets he worked for. Yeah. They took it from a thumbnail.
Okay, so that's when he was, of course, doing the probably an interview with me about his reporting, usually about NSA abuses and FBI abuses, and he's great at getting whistleblowers inside those organizations to reveal the truth. Now let's do more.
Yes, let's get into this. So, and we're going to through some of this address a few of the ridiculous points that Tucker Carlson made. One is that what's the point of this after all? Why is Ken doing this? Why would you FOIA our FOIA? That must be just cover for something else, because there's nothing you'll find out from doing it except at this point, Ken had already revealed what he found, which notably Tucker didn't mention. He didn't address the substance of it. But Ken says the FOIA request Tucker Carlson sent to the NSA to prove the Biden administration is spying on us seeks documents going back to January of 2019 during the Trump administration, per request I obtained under FOIA. So if this is about the Biden administration, why does Tucker want to look all the way back to 2019, two full years back, halfway through the Trump administration? And if there's a good reason why he's looking that far back, why hasn't he mentioned that during this segment or during one of the earlier segments that he made about his NSA like theory that he has? He's never mentioned why he wants to go back that far, but we wouldn't even know that he was if it weren't for Ken and for a reporter for BuzzFeed who also FOIA'd this, which Tucker also left that out too.
Yeah, so I guess Tucker missed this. So for your information, the reason that you would FOIA the FOIA is so you find out which administration is responsible, because it would be, logically speaking, and we still need more information on this story, if any of it is even true, it would be the administration that started the NSA request. They said, hey, NSA, can you go get information about Tucker Carlson? So if Trump started it in 2019, it's possible that Biden has absolutely nothing to do with it, and that Tucker Carlson, wittingly or unwittingly, is attacking the Trump administration for spying in on him. If any of it is true, it might all be a figment of Tucker Carlson's imagination in the first place. By the way, now again, more on the substance real quick here. So I don't want the NSA spying in on journalists. The ostensible potential reason here is Tucker Carlson's show was requesting an interview with Vladimir Putin. If any of that is true, why the hell would the NSA be following that? It's a normal request for an interview with a foreign leader.
Well, presumably, if you were communicating with someone in the Russian government, they might be being surveilled, and thus the communications would have been caught up in a long-standing surveillance of that official.
Yes, I see what you're saying. So that's a really important clarification. And if it
and Tucker has never acknowledged that possibility.
Yeah.
He said the only way this could have happened is they are specifically targeting me.
Yeah, and so guys, that's the part I wanted to get to. So, like, if the NSA was in this is not even Tucker's fantasy, as John explained, but in his fantasies, the NSA was targeting him for reaching out to Putin, I would be 100% against that move by the NSA. That's totally gratuitous, needless, and should not be done to a US journalist, no matter how much we disagree with them, right? If he gets caught up because, hey, he's talking to a guy that we're surveilling because he's trying to influence other people, but we don't mean to look at Tucker Carlson's records, okay, that's also interesting and potentially problematic, by the way. Okay, but that's not what Tucker said at all. What Tucker said when he first did the story was, oh, they're trying to cancel my show. why would Trump be trying to cancel your show back in 2019? And why would Trump be part of Russiagate? So that does, none of that makes any sense.
It's about the real cancel culture, Cenk. Don't you know that Donald Trump wanted to, wait a minute, cancel Tucker Carlson show? You're right, that doesn't seem to make any sense. But again, Republicans, Tucker Carlson's viewers don't really care about facts. They don't care about logic. They don't really follow what's really happening other than what Tucker Carlson is saying. And for his narrative, it's essentially, oh, the Biden administration, they're after me. They're trying to take me down. They're trying to cancel me. And he's only doing it, and this is the sick thing about it, it's all about ratings. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and look, I'm particularly interested in this because Ken is awesome, and I think we need to support Ken clearly when he's just doing his job and doing this. And we'll get into a little bit of the job of filing FOIAs like this to rebut another one of Tucker's points. But I agree with Jeff that this is just about ratings, and I think you don't even have to take my word for it. As we talked about in the damage report, Fox News is acting as if this is just about ratings. That one of their main star is alleging that the government is targeting them for destruction, and no one else on the network is even talking about it. They don't seem to care at all. Fox News isn't talking about it on the corporate side. They're not talking about it on their other shows. They're acting as if this is just some sideshow for a little bit. And why shouldn't they assume that? Tucker has once again made the news about himself. A couple of weeks ago, remember when he had his bombshell that the FBI had planned the Capitol attack? What happened to that? He hasn't had anything to say after he was made to look like a fool for not understanding what unindicted co-conspirators are and claiming the FBI had tried to commit a terror attack in DC. And he just moves on. And for all I know, he'll move on from this. And God only knows what the Forest Service will be doing to Tucker Carlson in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
But it will be about him once again, I know that.
Yeah, I just want to super quick back up what John and Jeff are saying. So like these are lunatic conspiracy theories. So it's the NSA spying on people is not a conspiracy theory. They do that, and they, especially if you're a foreign government and they're tracking your officials, etc., that is supposed to be part of their job. But they've gone way beyond their mandate in the past. Obviously, Edward Snowden revealed how much our government was wiretapping us. That's all true, okay? But Jeff is absolutely right that since his audience is detached from reality, Tucker doesn't have to have it make sense. Biden somehow was trying to cancel Tucker back in 2019 and made Trump's government do it. And it just, none of it makes any sense. But Tucker's perfectly aware for his audience, it doesn't have to make sense. And look, here's how you can know for sure that it doesn't make sense. Look at the point John made. And I first heard that from Colby Hall at Mediaite, and we talked about it when we first did the story. It is inconceivable that Fox News, if they thought it was real, either one of these, the FBI doing the Capitol riots or the NSA trying to cancel their top rated show, that every Fox News show wouldn't be talking about it 24/7. The fact that the rest of Fox News is not talking about it shows you for definitively that his own networks either thinks or is absolutely positive that Tucker Carlson is full of crap. Mm-hmm.
And if it causes some sort of legal trouble for them, or if they end up in a court case that Tucker starts, they can just use the same defense they've used before. With Tucker, he wasn't speaking factually, he was just exaggerating to prove a point or whatever. And by the way, in to buttress what you said about none of it needs to make sense, honestly, think about what his show has been about for the past week or so. So last night's program, what are the messages he's trying to get across? So sure, he ends with Ken Klippenstein is a stooge for the NSA, and they're defending, and again, he never makes the point for how FOIAing his FOIA somehow defends the NSA. I don't understand that. But the point is that Tucker is critical of government surveillance, and Ken Klippenstein is a supporter of government surveillance. Okay, now we have to go to a commercial break. When we come back, I'll tell you more about how the government needs to put cameras in every classroom so they know what every teacher is saying. So if they say something about critical race theory, we can cancel them. That has been his other big thing for the past week. So which is it? Are you against government surveillance? Are you for government surveillance? Or is it that the public school teachers, they're working class, they're poor, we can surveil them all we want, and they're probably libs, so who cares about them? But I'm a very incredibly wealthy, well-connected conservative, so how dare you ever even incidentally collect my information? And that's really what's going on here. Now, really fast, why don't we go into a little bit of the video from yesterday on Deep Dive. So first of all, quick point from journalist Ryan Grimm about Tucker Carlson being aggrieved that Ken Klippenstein would put all of his time and effort into FOIAing his FOIA. Well, how much time and effort is that actually? Ryan explains.
To the point of what Tucker is like complaining about, for somebody who's fluent in FOIA, one of the first things you learn is that you can FOIA other news outlets, FOIAs. And it takes less than 10 minutes. Like, you got your form, FOIA there, boom, boom, give me all Tucker Carlson FOIAs, all Fox News FOIAs filed between this week. Boom, send it in, it comes back. If you hear a host on cable television say, "I just filed a FOIA," and you're a FOIA reporter, you're like, cool, I'm gonna go get that FOIA.
And so that leaves us in a position where I don't know if Tucker just doesn't know that because he doesn't seem to know that much, or if he's just lying about it and doesn't care. Is this the unindicted co-conspirator thing again? Is he literally so lazy that he will make bombastic claims without doing 5 minutes of even a Wikipedia search for some of these basic terms? No, or is it just deception?
No, he's lying on purpose. I gotta go to our members because they're hilarious. Jeremy wrote in, "My 6-year-old daughter, what's in it for you?" Accidental pun, maybe, but still love it. And Jeremy, we're right there with you. We do love it. But I do want to clarify, in case you guys are all lost, it's a freedom of information request. So the government has to give you some information, that most of the information that they have. Obviously, you can't give top secret or classified information because the American people and the American press have a right to that information. And the way you do that is through a FOIA request, okay? And so then I go to Navinix, who says, if Tucker wants to find out what comes out of Kenny Clip's FOIA, then Tucker should FOIA Kenny's FOIA of Tucker's FOIA, which is actually true. Okay, he could do that, but we explained to you why Kenny did it before to see which administration actually started this, which is actually at the very core of Tucker Carlson's allegations. Guys, these are our members. I love doing the show with you guys. Jeff was a member before he became a host. Actually, John was a viewer before he became a host. So TYT.
Not anymore, but before.
Yeah, he left you. We're not left enough anymore. TYT.com/join to become a member. And then I'm gonna go to Super Chat for one more time because John mentioned, or I mentioned John's show. Rob O'Soul wrote in. So you're saying Tucker watches the conversation? Hopefully he watches the damage report too, so he can see John put him in the trash.
That has happened from time to time. Oh geez, so I know you had a few things that you wanted to get to in terms of this, right?
Well, you got more videos?
Okay, well, yeah, why don't we go to that then? So thankfully Ken Klippenstein did FOIA Tucker Carlson's FOIA, because that's how we knew that the search that Tucker was doing regarding the NSA goes back way before Joe Biden became president. So why would that potentially be? Well, Jordan Ewell asked Ken Klippenstein about that last night on Deep Dive.
Requesting records dating back to 2019, what does that signal to you?
If this is a politically motivated Biden thing to, as he said in his initial tweet, shut us down, why does it go back to 2019 when Trump is in the White House? And, you know, I don't want to get into this kind of political thing because, again, the NSA, they hack things, they spy on things, they collect things.
At its core, as you and I have talked about so many different places, this entire apparatus is completely unchecked, completely opaque and invasive.
If what he's angry about was that he was incidentally swept up, in trying to contact Putin, you would think that that critique would extend to the Trump administration as well, because that exact same practice would have been taking place then also. But unfortunately, you know, there are people that only care about civil liberties if there happens to be someone with a D next to their name or an R next to their name or whatever it may be. And that just gets really old. And I feel like someone like him, it probably is hard to imagine that there's people out there that don't necessarily, they just care about things in and of themselves, regardless of what the state of play is politically.
Thoughts?
Yeah, that would require you to be a journalist and have principles. And of course Tucker does, and he's just trying to prove some right-wing point and one that isn't remotely true. Whereas I love what Kenny Clips does and what we try to do, which is hold Republicans and Democrats accountable. We do it politically, and Ken does it through finding out evidence about what their administration is doing, especially in the intelligence community. And there's no reason in the world why any progressive would support a Democratic administration eavesdropping on us, wiretapping us, Or by the way, eavesdropping or wiretapping conservatives for political reason. We would hate that as progressives. It has nothing to do with protecting Republicans or Democrats. It has to do with protecting the idea of civil liberties in the first place.
Yeah, you know what this feels like? It feels like the whole Obamagate thing, where Trump alleged that Obama spied on my campaign. I mean, this is Obamagate 2.0 or Spygate 2.0 or whatever. And it's again based on BS. There's really nothing there. There's no there. It's ginning people up. And what's interesting too, and you said, we'd be mad if a conservative was actually spied on by the NSA. We're all being spied on by the NSA once again, as Edward Snowden pointed out. But like, could you imagine Tucker Carlson getting mad if the Trump administration spied in on Rachel Maddow or on journalists? Oh wait, didn't that actually happen? Didn't they try to get emails and phone records and all that stuff from what, New York Times or Washington Post journalists? Weird. He didn't say anything about that, did he?
Yeah. No, that's a great point, Jeff. That's right. And that slipped my mind. Of course, yeah, Trump administration went after journalists and tried to spy in on them. And if it was true what Tucker said, we would hate if the Biden administration did that to Tucker Carlson. He, on the other hand, is like, oh, you're spying in on Trump's doing it? Yes, spying on all the reporters as long as it's not me. They're the world's biggest hypocrites. They don't care about principles at all. But speaking of hypocrisy, did you notice what Tucker said in that original clip about Ken? See, he works at The Intercept, but he was funded by a billionaire. Okay, wait a minute. Who's the owner and hence the funder of Fox News? Oh, it's Rupert Murdoch. I mean, Rupert Murdoch's not a billionaire. Oh no, he is a billionaire. He's got $22 billion. Mm-hmm. So Tucker Carlson, literally on a network funded by a billionaire, attacks Ken Klippenstein for working for a network funded by a billionaire. By the way, The Intercept, as they explain later in Deep Dive, is just funded and then not given restrictions, apparently, by Pierre Omidyar. And he apparently, and I don't know any of the inside details, gave him $250 million. Now, you want to know how much Rupert Murdoch put into Fox News before it turned a profit? It actually lost a tremendous amount of money for the first 5 years of its existence. Hence, Murdoch had to invest all of those losses to see if it had any chance of working, because he wanted to build a right-wing media network. And by the way, that's totally fine. But so a billionaire with $22 billion, how much did he put into Fox? He put in $450 million in the first 5 years. They lost $90 million a year, 5 years in a row. And then after that, they turned a profit. And again, there's nothing wrong with that. But to say, like, can you believe Omidyar actually funded real journalists? Whereas our guy funded us almost twice as much, is a bigger billionaire than Omidyar, and funded us to do right-wing propaganda that he believes in and not actual journalism. So, I wonder who's more principled and who isn't.
Yeah. Well, Ken, you're on your own now. Let's see what Tucker does to you tonight. But for now, we do have to take our first break. When we come back, Captain America getting political for the first time ever. We'll break it down after this.
All right, back on TYT, Cenk, John, and Jeff with you guys. Also, Yaztag, because they just signed up by hitting the join button below on YouTube, which is awesome. And then Mark Davis wrote in on YouTube Super Chat, just this: Waldorf Nation! Okay, all caps and an exclamation point. So everybody check out Jeff's show, Waldorf Nation, as well. All right, John's got more news for us.
Let's do it. Fox always needs a villain, and they think they've found one. Captain America, as you'll see.
Captain America getting political and anything but patriotic in the latest Marvel comic series released right before Independence Day.
Well, the issue claims, quote, the first American dream is the one that isn't real. It's one some people expect to just be handed to them, when the truth is it never really existed in the first place. Other cultures, immigrants, we're at our best when we keep no one out. A good dream is shared, shared radically, shared with everyone. When something isn't shared, it can become the American lie.
All right, well, are you confused?
Okay,
No.
Yeah, no, most of the time lately, I am confused. But that is Fox News, conservative network, that believes that libs get triggered by things. And they're so harsh about things that are politically incorrect. They need to just lighten up when things aren't politically what they prefer. So of course, they've had a news cycle. They're following Newsmax, by the way, in melting down in segment after segment because they didn't think the politics of a piece of pop culture was correct. So again, the left is censorious. The left needs to relax about political correctness. And here is Fox freaking out because Captain America got political for the first time ever. Well, except for that time when they Captain America punched Hitler on the cover of one of the magazines. Occasionally it's dabbled in politics from time to time, but what do you guys think? Is this gonna work?
Yeah, so I have a thousand things to say, but let me jump in with two things. Captain America, the original Antifa. Remember, that was the whole point of Captain America, was to fight the fascists. Hitler, etc., when they were, we Americans were fighting the Nazis. The rest of us think that was the good old days. Fox News is like, ah. I wonder what they would have said about Captain America back then. Oh, I guess he's Captain Woke. Wants to fight the fascists. This anti, maybe Captain America did the Capitol Rise. We don't know, right? But I have so much more. But I want to make sure that Brian Kilmeade's not confused anymore. Wish me luck.
Sure.
Okay, so guys, in case if you're a conservative and you didn't understand what Captain America was saying there, and by the way, it's a fictional character, just note for the record. Okay, he's saying, look, if you don't share the American dream with immigrants, and because that's what this part of the comic book was about, right? And there was a whole conversation about it, and the bad guy calls the foreigners and immigrants dirty. That's probably why Fox News was offended in the first place, because Fox News calls them dirty. But we'll get to that in a second. And Captain America was saying, now if we share the American dream with everybody and everybody has hope and opportunity, then it really is the American dream. But if you're not sharing it and you're only making it available to certain people, so what's an easy and obvious example? So when we had slavery, were we sharing the American dream with black folks in this country? Well, obviously not. So did they have a shot at the American dream? Well, they were slaves, obviously not. So to them, it was the American lie, right? And you could extend that to other groups at different times in American history. So Captain America is not saying let's kill the American dream. He's saying the exact opposite. He's saying let's expand the American dream so that it applies to everybody. And that's why Fox News is upset. They're like, no, it's just for us. It's not meant for the dirty immigrants. Thank you for proving our point and being appropriately un-American. That's why Captain America is fighting people like you.
Yeah,
you're absolutely right about that. So it always kind of boggles my mind how people could think like the people on Fox News. How you can look at, you know, immigration and think, no, we don't want those people in our country. And then they'll sit and complain, of course, about people who want to include people. Oh, they're throwing, you know, around words like woke and, I can't think of any other words that they throw out, but they're, you know, they cry. And that's the thing. All these segments on Fox News are nothing but conservatives crying, crying about inclusion, crying about, you know, actually wanting to share the American dream with other people because they don't actually believe in the American dream. They never have. They've always been on the wrong side of history. They would have sided with the British during the Revolutionary War. You know, they side with, of course, corporations, they side with white nationalists and white supremacists. How more un-American can you get?
Yeah, well, and they declared in the beginning of that first video we showed you that he's certainly not patriotic. Well, so first of all, how is it up to you? I mean, you can have your opinion or whatever, but the idea that Captain America would want everyone to have access to, you know, all of the potential and promise of America, I say that's patriotic. I think quite a few Americans would believe that that is actually patriotic. So that's nonsense. And again, Jeff is right. It is just, we're supposed to have something to be aggrieved about. And obviously they don't care, but Brian, what's his name? Kilmeade doesn't care about what's in Captain America. He's not reading Captain America. But what he does know is the audience out there loves feeling like victims. They love feeling like everything is arrayed against them, and everything is coming for them. And so why not Captain America too? So it's their job to look out there for anything that they can pitch as not going their way and complain about it. And I will double down on what I said earlier. They love to say that the left or the center, these people are too concerned about things being politically correct. And it has bothered me for years that some people in the center or even on the left have played into this. That Bill Maher goes on his long tangents about political correctness and all that. And now people are buying into the cancel culture stuff. It is absolute BS. I almost swore there. Absolute BS. Everybody likes certain politics in their things if it agrees with them, and they don't like others. So you're being too politically correct if you don't like someone using the N-word. But if you whine on cable news because someone said, hey, let's not demonize immigrants, that's totally cool. That's not demanding any sort of correctness in your politics. That's not trying to get anything canceled or anything like that. All of this is BS. It is a narrative framework set up to make certain sorts of criticism acceptable and others not, and we cannot play into it.
Yeah, do we have more Fox
News? We do have more video,
actually.
Let's do more,
because it's hilarious.
Yes,
and then I have a point I want to make about what John said.
Sure, so they're going to bring in their big guns, the massive celebrities who want to opine on this, who've played similar sorts of roles to Captain America in the past. Here they are giving their thoughts about Captain America.
So what does Superman have to say about that? Dean Cain played that role and took great pride in it.
I am so tired of all of this wokeness and anti-Americanism. You know, we just celebrated our 245th birthday. In my opinion, America is the greatest country in history. It's not perfect. We are constantly striving for a more perfect union, as we all know, but I believe she's the most fair, equitable country ever.
We keep reaching new levels of insanity. That's all I can say. This is, you know, it's obvious America is a great country. This is just another example of lies from the left. I mean, I agree with what Dean Cain said this earlier. Are these American blasters out there, have they really spent time in other countries to see what the comparisons could be? You know, I look at Hollywood and the public education system. They're sitting out there encouraging us to hate each other. Walt Disney said back in the 1950s, he said, movies and television will influence our youth. And look at what's going on in the streets across America today, especially in all the blue states and the blue cities and all the anger and hate and violence going on out there.
It's so sad when Captain America is now like Captain Woke or Captain Propaganda. Did I miss an issue where he was kidnapped by liberal arts professors and was forced to move to Portland?
It credits him as comedian. Oh God, that's just terrible. Anyway, look, they can have their opinions. And honestly, I don't expect much more of them. They're just random actors or whatever. They can have their politics, they can have their opinion or whatever. But it's like Captain Woke, because he said, hey, maybe we should include immigrants as we always have before in this culture. We demonize them briefly and then we bring them in and we become stronger as a result of that. You don't need to be woke to think that immigrants are a part of America. That's kind of like a long-standing thing, actually. That's not like we just learned that in school yesterday or something. And again, it's not even internally consistent. Dean Cain says there, I'm just sick of the wokeness, I'm sick of all this. Now, America's not a perfect country. Okay, well, let me stop you there. How dare you, sir? How dare you, Dean Cain, say that America's not perfect? Because you seem to think that you can point out certain things that aren't perfect, but other people can't. So if Donald Trump does a 3-hour speech about how America's, it's governed by losers and suckers, we're all terrible now, everybody hates us, we need to be made great again. That's all fine. That's a fine criticism of America. But if a fictional character says, hey, I think immigrants are okay, then that's unacceptable. That's Captain Woke and everything. And again, it's not just that we each have our critiques. They're not satisfied with that. They want their critiques to be awesome. And everyone else, if they critique, they're being censorious. They're being woke. They're being too whatever, too lefty. No, we all like some things and we don't like other things. You don't get some sort of feigned moral superiority because you're criticizing something that a lefty made up.
So I loved all of this so much. Sorbo says they're trying to get us to hate each other. No, this is literally the exact opposite. Captain America was like, don't hate the immigrants. Mm-hmm. They become Americans just like us and we should expand the American dream to them. How's that hating each other? They're not even trying to make sense anymore, right? And Dean Cain, by the way, part Asian, obviously immigrant in his family, right? And Captain America in the comics talks about, in this episode, talks about how his families are is immigrants, Irish immigrants from back in the day, and how they suffered discrimination, etc. Maybe Sorbo's talking about, you know, Kane, it was Superman, Superman versus Batman, you know, getting people to hate each other. Maybe that's what he's talking about. Maybe. I don't know.
Superman also an immigrant.
That's right. In fact, Superman an undocumented alien. it's just, it is what it is, right? I don't want to call him illegal, but he didn't come with any papers. But guys, let's keep it real. My favorite part was the Captain propaganda, right? Because Captain America, if we're being honest, was always propaganda, right? Even like in the beginning, he was like, oh, the Americans are great and the Nazis are bad. Now that's true, it's overwhelmingly true, right? But it was meant to like rah, rah, war effort, etc., right? Now we like that. And so we try not to call it propaganda because we like it. But if we're being honest, it had a message. Everything has a message. I mean, what kind of a vapid thing doesn't have a message? And so, and Captain America's message actually has been consistent throughout. America is great when we are open, when we're fighting the bad guys, the fascists, etc. And we are great when we stick together and bring in everybody. It's not that Captain America changed. Fox News changed. Like, the right wing in this country changed. The right wing used to agree with us on fighting fascists and protecting democracy and being open to people. And by the way, a lot of the voters still do, even though a lot of the right wing voters, this is in my book that's gonna come out at some point in the next decade. And and seriously, like, you'd be shocked at the enormous percentage of Americans that are in favor of being open to immigrants. It's just like a quarter of the country that is deeply hateful and resentful. But that gets to the most interesting point of all of this. It goes to what John was saying. The assumption for both the guests and the hosts at Fox News is that Captain America is supposed to do our propaganda, right? Captain America, the normal is for Captain America to hate immigrants. The normal is for him to think that they're dirty and that the American dream has always been perfect. And yeah, we didn't share it with others, but so what? Oh, good, good. I'm glad we didn't share it with others. Who, you know, what? The slaves needed it? They didn't need the goddamn American dream. They assume all that is normal, right? And so when Captain America is actually does something positive, they're like, whoa, what changed? Why is he all of a sudden not a right winger? Which we assumed was the patriotic position. Yeah. No, your assumption was never correct. This country's never been right wing. Again, that's in the book, justicecomingbook.com. Country's massively progressive on the issues. The only reason why Republicans ever win any races is ironically because of the propaganda outlets like Fox News that trick people into thinking, oh yeah, wait, America hates equality and justice, right? No, America's supposed to love equality and justice, and being decent to immigrants is part and parcel of equality, of course.
Jeff, final thoughts?
Yeah, I just want to say how conservatives love to claim patriotism when they don't even understand what it really means. Patriotism is being able to criticize your country. I mean, that is why we have a First Amendment in the first place, where you can criticize your country and not get locked up for it, which is a bonus, I think. But you know, to criticize it, not just to criticize it, but to actually make it better, to make it more open, to make it, you know, to take care of our own people and to welcome new people in. Because when we welcome new people in, we're that much stronger. Jake, you're an immigrant. How much stronger do you make this country? I would say a lot stronger. And all of us going back to a certain point, you know, we're not Native American, obviously, or indigenous. We're all immigrants, and we have made this country better. And it is up to all of us to work together to make this country even better. I mean, right now we suck on healthcare, we suck on education, in all these different metrics. We are by far not number one. But there's something we can do about that. Yeah. And we can work together to change the system for the better, to serve all of us, to right the wrongs of the past.
I'm gonna say the last couple of things. First of all, how much stronger did I make America? I might have made it too strong. I'm just saying, okay. I was trying to bear through this.
Specifically when it comes to coffee, sure.
Thank you for the plug opportunity. TooStrongCoffee.com/TYT, okay. Gotta make sure TYT gets credit. No, seriously guys, last thing is that so-called comedian in the middle of his long segment, he was like, and now these Captain America comic book sales are up. Yeah, that's because people like the more inclusive message. Mm-hmm. I think they're not even trying to make sense. And finally, here's what I think of all this. Okay, that's right, Captain America sent us TYT, his shield. What now, Fox News? What now?
Okay. This show's gone a little bit too woke, okay? Anyway, it's taking up the whole frame. Okay, we're gonna take our second break. When we come back, more SHIELD, and we'll also talk about the massive storm that's hitting the East Coast right now, as well as the latest from TYT Investigates after this.
All right, back on TYT, Cenk, John, and Jeff with you guys. All right, John's got the next story for us.
Okay, let's jump into it. Tropical storm Elsa is continuing to batter the East Coast, causing damage in a number of different forms. In Westernville, New York, you had severe thunderstorms uprooting trees, ripping out roofs, and downing power lines. Connecticut was hit with major floods this morning as several inches of water filled the streets of Hartford and downtown New Haven. Over in West Haven, a landslide caused by rainfall near the Metro North track shut down train service to the city. And this is Elsa having moved a bit up the coast earlier. It had really hit New York hard, and video of subway lines being flooded went viral, fairly understandably, as you'll see in this clip. That is, of course, not how that is supposed to look. It's supposed to be a subway. New York is not supposed to have a series of underground canals. You're not supposed to need to put on waders. And supposedly, people were dispatched to clear out some of those areas. And the actual subway lines only in one particular area were down even briefly. But that is still obviously a massive inconvenience for the millions of workers in New York who desperately have to get to work, as well as being potentially a health hazard because I'm just gonna guess based on New York and the look of that water, but I don't think anyone should be having direct skin contact with anything that was in that video.
Yeah, so I remember when Inconvenient Truth first came out, and that was the movie that where Al Gore was doing the presentation on climate change. And in the movie, they talk about how some portions of New York City could be underwater if this climate change continues. And Fox News at the time was like, New York being underwater, Al Gore, what an alarmist nut job, crazy, of course not. Oops. And of course, this is not the first time this happened many times since Inconvenient Truth. In fact, there was an Inconvenient sequel where they featured how many times New York has gotten flooded. And now, as we've told you many times in Miami, there's sunny day floods where Miami starts flooding when it's not raining. It's because the sea levels are rising and the oceans have risen overall, and now that's affecting Miami, New York, etc. So, and AOC, of course, fought back against this. And guys, when you look at the urgency of the situation, the 1,000-year floods and storms and fires and droughts that are happening pretty much every year, it doesn't look like it's a 1,000-year storm anymore. You realize in Washington, they're still talking about parliamentarians and filibusters. Like, this is insanity. Mm-hmm. We got to go right now. And they're not going to, but Biden's not. He's gonna do the weak sauce version of the infrastructure bill, and he's not gonna do any of the green energy parts. And it's gonna be an epic disaster, is my guess as to how this is gonna play out.
Jeff, what did you think when you saw that video?
I don't know, guys. I don't know if I really see the problem. I mean, you know, they can just swim to work. They can buy snorkels. It'll increase the sales of snorkels. Everything is fine, totally. You know, the ocean was on fire just the other day. Not a problem. What? No, nothing. Hey, you know what? Oil company executives, they have to make profits, and they've got to buy a boat to park in their other boat to navigate the ocean that is on fire.
That's true.
Where's the problem?
They need extra money to fireproof their boats.
Exactly. But Cenk is absolutely right. Biden isn't going to do anything. As we saw from the ExxonMobil video or the Greenpeace video of the Exxon lobbyist, they've got control. They've got control of Joe Manchin. They're not going to get rid of the filibuster, Kyrsten Sinema. They're all paid off. And that's going to mean disaster for us in the future. Actually, not just the future, but right now. It's happening right now.
Yeah, you know, I'm glad that you mentioned that Exxon video because I've been waiting. It's been like, what, a week, week and a half? And I don't watch a lot of mainstream media, but I would like to think that I would have seen it. I haven't seen like a hard question to Joe Manchin about that, about the fact that he has these weekly calls with Exxon lobbyists. There's been basically like it disappeared. Nobody's talking about it anymore. And I haven't seen any consequences whatsoever. No one else in Democratic leadership seems to have any problem with the fact that Joe Manchin is at the very least publicly making them look like jokes during this conversation around an infrastructure bill. And there's been effectively nothing. So great work by Greenpeace in getting the video and leaking it. But they released it into a world that is not predisposed to care at all about any of this. Except for a few politicians. As you alluded to, AOC did have a good tweet. She said, the Green New Deal, which is a blueprint to create millions of good jobs, rebuilding infrastructure to stem climate change and protect vulnerable communities, is unrealistic. Instead, we will do the adult thing, which is to take orders from fossil fuel execs and make you swim to work. So there, she appears to be alluding to the Exxon video at the very least, but it doesn't seem to be influencing the conversation about the bipartisan infrastructure bill or the possibility that some sort of reconciliation bill will ever come.
No, guys, look, that's a, again, a credit to AOC and Jamal Bowman who have led on beginning to criticize fellow Democrats. But man, we don't have a lot of time for that either. Like we gotta go. So we're inching towards like maybe Manchin is slightly corrupt, you know. But like I don't want to say Manchin. I don't want to say Democrats. To be fair to Jamal Bowman and AOC, they have in the past mentioned Joe Manchin in this context, okay? But everybody else is like can't get their boots on yet, and even that it's super mild. Like the reality is, Biden is overwhelmingly likely to screw them and not do any of the green energy parts in that infrastructure bill. I don't know how in the world they're gonna pass it. If they do, by the way, I will love it. We're not part of the alt left. I'd love to give them credit if they did something wonderful. I'm here for it. I'd play the fireworks. It'd be great, right? But it is very unlikely. And so then they're gonna come back and say, oh, you better vote for the thing that the ExxonMobil lobbyist wrote, and we all know they wrote because we have it on tape where they say, here, Joe Manchin, do this, and all the other Republicans do this, etc. And the Democrats. And they should vote no. It's a terrible, terrible bill, the bipartisan compromise. It does nothing for green energy and it privatizes our infrastructure and robs us blind. Yeah. So and the reason we're asking progressives to do it is because it's inconceivable that the media in this country would be honest and would call out politicians for their on tape corruption.
Yeah, totally true. I think we only have a couple of minutes, but why don't we roll right on through this last story? Because I know that you wanted to get to this, so let's do this. We are just fresh off of Pride, and it was a great time for corporations pretending that they're allies on some of the biggest, most important issues that we're currently facing, whether in the case of Pride, it's things like LGBTQ rights or the fight over the future of our democracy and access to substantive voting rights in America. You have corporations doing these big ad campaigns and pretending that they're allies, but then behind the scenes, they're donating money to politicians that are working in the exact opposite direction. And TYT Investigates has been doing some great work to identify some of these cases. Let's talk briefly about a few. So one official who benefited from this is Arizona Attorney General Mark Brnovich, who won a July 1st Supreme Court decision that may impact judicial interpretations of voting laws around the country. Brnovich was reelected back in 2018 with financial backing from many familiar corporate names. So the Supreme Court decision had to do with two different provisions of Arizona voting law. The first requires officials to throw out ballots cast at the wrong precinct. The second provision prevents against ballot harvesting, making it a felony to knowingly collect voted or unvoted early ballots from another person. And the reason that matters is that, especially in Arizona, there are rural or indigenous voters that would theoretically have to drive long distances to be able to turn in their ballots. It's much more convenient, obviously, and financially feasible for them to have groups or individuals help them out in doing that. Now, let's see. The law that the Supreme Court finally ruled on just weeks ago was passed originally back in 2016, and there was concerns ever since. It's been going through the judicial system ever since. 2 years later, this is back in 2018, state campaign disclosures showed that Brnovich's reelection campaign got donations not just from people like the Koch brothers, who you might expect, but from massive mainstream corporations including Pfizer, Verizon, Sprint, JP Morgan, Microsoft, Comcast, Walmart, and CVS. This is some of the biggest corporations, and many of them have been running these ad campaigns to imply that they're on your side. They're not okay with the big election lie and stuff like that. But you had, like, back in 2018, JP Morgan gave this one individual politician $4,000. It's fairly significant for a state level position like that. And we've got other examples, we can certainly go to those, but this is an example of the one stance in public that these corporations have, and a very different one when it comes to which sorts of candidates they try to keep in office.
So to me, there's two issues here, this specific issue and then the larger issue. So on the specifics here, another company that gave money to the Arizona Attorney General, who wound up eviscerating voting rights, was Comcast.
Yep.
So Comcast owns NBC, MSNBC, etc. So look, I get it, man. Comcast is a large corporation and has a lot of different interests. And although they're mainly a media organization, and not every host on MSNBC is responsible for Comcast's positions, I want to make all of that clear. Now, having said that, yeah, MSNBC's parent corporation is funding Republicans all across the country, including people who are shredding voting rights. And so, you know, I've seen their anchors talk about voting rights. I don't think their anchors are very progressive at all. Half of them are Republicans. A lot of them worked for Bush and Cheney. But they have real progressives and they do talk about voting rights. But they should also apply some internal pressure, right? And say, hey, Comcast, you're making us look ridiculous. Can you please stop giving to people who are actively destroying voting rights while we're going on air and saying we're in favor of voting rights? Mm-hmm. Okay, but now to the larger issue, which I think is more important. Look at all these companies giving to rando attorney generals in different states. Why? Why Walmart and CVS and JP Morgan, that's a bank in New York. Comcast is a media company in Philadelphia, right? Why are they giving to the Attorney General of Arizona? Because they're buying everybody. Mm-hmm. They have financial interests everywhere. Comcast's media also is in Arizona. I'm sure there's some regulations that affect JP Morgan in terms of financial industry in Arizona. And they're like, oh, just in case, let's just purchase all the politicians. Since bribery is legal in America, let's just bribe them all so that in case anything ever comes up that touches our financial interests, they'll know, hey, you better do as you're told, otherwise we won't give you the money you need to get elected. This system is sick, it's diseased, it's completely corrupt. Wolf-pack.com, go join them, wolf-pack.com. And actually make a difference. They're nonpartisan and they're trying desperately to get money out of politics, and they're for real. Otherwise, all these companies are gonna buy every politician on every issue.
And there is a reason why they do that, obviously, because it helps them financially, as Jake pointed out. I mean, you buy all these politicians and they will reduce your taxes, they'll cut regulations, and they'll give you favorable deals. And so, yeah, it makes total sense to buy everyone. And by the way, to, you know, do voter suppression, to support voter suppression, because guess what? That's how Republicans win. It's essentially the only reason Republicans tend to win, is by, you know, making it so that people can't vote, or they get, you know, kicked off their voter rolls, or you've got gerrymandering, or you've got redistricting that turns out to be unfavorable towards Democratic candidates, and who also, by the way, do take a lot of money from these, from, you know, organizations like Comcast. And so, yeah, it is a sick, disgusting system. Get the money out of politics. That's the only thing that I can say.
Yeah. Lastly, on the back to this specific issue, understand how this game is played too. So the JP Morgans and the Comcast of the world publicly say, we are in favor of voting rights. They put out statements. We are in favor of voting rights and we don't want those laws passing. We want to include everybody in our democracy. Why? Because they're trying to get black customers, Latino customers. They're capitalists and they want to get all those people to come and be their customers, right? But then behind the scenes, they go fund Republicans to cut voting rights. Why? Because they need Republicans for tax cuts and deregulation.
Yep.
So they don't actually, they're not actually in favor of voting rights. That's just marketing to trick you into becoming, you know, basically shopping with them and paying them money. But meanwhile, they take some of your money and funnel it back to the Republicans that are taking away your voting rights. And that's a fact. And so, by the way, read the whole article. We'll put it in the description box below on YouTube and Facebook. It's from TYT Investigates, our group, and they did a phenomenal job with it. Very proud of them.
Yeah.
Exposing corruption all the time. All right, we're out of time. I want everybody to check out Waldorf Nation. Jeff, thanks so much for being on. We appreciate it, brother.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, everybody check out Damage Report. Great show on the network, followed by Indisputable, and now on some days followed by another Young Turks viewer Ben Carolla and Rivana, who won our Twitch pitch contest. That's on Twitch, but obviously, and Jeff's got his own show, and John's obviously part of the TYT network, but they also came up as viewers. So I love that we all do this show together. All right, we're gonna come back and have an amazing second hour. We'll be back. Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Young Turks. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, Cenk Uygur, and I'll see you soon.